Welcome back to Politics and More with Shannon Moore and Rosemary Stainbrook. Shannon is now off the air, but he's like, we will definitely see him back next week. It was really great to have Jeff Poor from the 1819 News also join us and get to talk to us about kind of the feel that's going on down there. And one of the other things that was a big news stopper was the interview between Tucker Carlson and Vladimir Putin. So Tucker decided to go to Moscow and enjoy himself a little bit of a snow job, because that's exactly what you got for 2 straight hours of them going back and forth about what Putin thinks of himself and Russia and Ukraine. And the first entire hour was him giving him a romanticized history of Russia and what he thinks belongs to Russia. And Tucker Carlson afterward had his own private commentary talking about how it's going to take him probably a year to dissect all of his feels about about conducting that interview and about what he heard. And it gets like, when it has come to the Russian-Ukraine conflict, Tucker Carlson has sounded more favorably to Russia, not necessarily to Putin directly, but definitely in Russia's favorability, simply because Zelensky has taken a lot of moves that has limited journalism in his state in the country of Ukraine, and as well as outlawing half of the Orthodox Church in Ukraine in order to have more control over it himself. And Putin very pointedly tried to say, it's like no one has tried to come out to him to get his side of the story and hear things from his perspective since the beginning of the conflict, which, I mean, I don't necessarily believe. I'm sure there's plenty of journalists that would enjoy talking to him without the risk and threat of being poisoned with plutonium. So for there to be any type of insinuation that Putin is more open to free speech than Zelensky is, that is like, you're definitely going to have to ask Prigozhin, who was head of the Wagner group, if he felt that way after shooting his plane down. The fact that the fact that Putin thinks that he has some type of right to Crimea or some type of right to Ukraine or the way the Prussian Empire was back, you know, when it was Catherine the Great. And it's like, there's a lot of people that try to say that Putin is some type of Peter the Great idealist, and I don't necessarily see it that way. I honestly would think him to be a little bit more like Gregory Potemkin, and Russia is his Catherine the Great, and he is romanticizing a picture in his head, a fantasy that honestly I don't think is going to come true. It's not going to come true the way he would want it to. He keeps trying to say that NATO is the one that is expanding and not him. And I just do not see that whatsoever. You have, you have what Gorbachev left behind, and then Putin decided to absolutely flush it down the toilet. He's like, the entire country of Russia barely has the GDP of Florida. And instead of opening up his economy and allowing for more free speech and then letting go of control over the Russian Orthodox Church, he's tightened his grip. He has made his country poorer, and he has been aggressive. During Obama, he took Crimea. So to say that only NATO is the one expanding and NATO is the one going back on his word, on their word, is a pipe dream. This is a narrative that Putin is telling himself and that he's telling his oligarchs in order to stay in power. And it's getting harder and harder to believe. Putin is, I guess, like, they're Right. I mean, even right now, he is holding an American journalist rotting in the Kremlin. So it's like, you can't tell me that he is more concerned with freedom and innovation and better things for his people and his country when he's still holding an American hostage in his prison. So it's not convincing. It is a snow job, 100%. But to try and say that he is somehow reasonable, I was like, for many of you, hopefully remember, it's like even George W. Bush said that he looked into his eyes and saw his soul. I'm like, well, that soul must be black because I don't see anything worth redeemable at this point. Where again, it's like you can't say that you want the best for your country and you want to see your rule thrive and you want to see the Russian people do better and be better when you are throwing oligarchs off of buildings when they don't do what you want. You're throwing, you know, young female bank presidents off of, you know, through windows, and then on top of which, poisoning journalists left and right, and you're expanding your bot farms and hacking the United States. You're trying to say that you're not expanding. Yes, you are. You are being aggressive. This isn't us making it up. You were aggressive far before Zelensky. So it's just like try again, because no one really believes you. It's like I understand Tucker Carlson, you know, it's like you're in the middle of Moscow, but I can bet you all, I can easily bet you all of the beluga caviar in the Kremlin that they showed you what they wanted you to see and nothing more. It's no different than an American taking a trip to North Korea and them only showing you the best of what they have when everyone else is either starving or fighting. And it's like, and again, it's like, this is the country that created Pravda. It's like he really needs to realize that he's lost, even though he wants to still win over Zelensky. But these are two men that have ideas that are not going to work for their people. So I am looking forward to seeing what else Tucker Carlson has to say about his visit in Moscow. But I can guarantee you it's going to be the same things we've heard before about how beautiful it is and how some of their traditions are nice or whatever. But Putin is not a good man for Russia, and neither are the majority of his oligarchs. Thank you guys so much for listening. Have a great weekend, and we will be back next week here at Politics and More. Thank you.